Duncan, Hunter isn't the only House Republican holding up the intelligence bill. So is another committee chairman, James Sensenbrenner. He wants the bill to address illegal immigration and what he sees as loopholes in the system. House Speaker Dennis Hastert has said he will not bring the intelligence reform bill to the floor until he is assured that most Republicans will vote for it, until he has a majority of the majority. We turn to a former Republican Speaker of the House to find out what that means politically. Newt Gingrich served from 1995 to 1999.
Any Speaker of the House is never going to bring a bill to the floor that doesn't have a majority of his own caucus or conference voting for it, because he is, first of all, elected Speaker. So if you can't carry your own caucus, the bill's not good enough by the standards of the people who make you Speaker.
And as for the conflict on this bill between the House and the Senate and the House and the President, Newt Gingrich says that doesn't surprise him.
The Constitution was designed to force conflict. You elect 100 senators, two per state. They're not part of the president's team. They work with the president, not for the president. You elect 435 House members by population. They work for the people who elect them. Then you have the president, who's elected every 4 years by the whole country. So the Constitution's designed to have a power struggle.
This particular majority of Republicans, is this a majority that wants to, that is, say, for instance, not comfortable with dissent within its own party, trying to bring...
Well, it seems to me it's pretty comfortable with dissent because they're right in the middle of it. It strikes me they're functioning like a normal, natural American governing majority, which is senators speak out about what they care about. John McCain's been doing this for four solid years, and Chuck Hagel's been doing it. It's not something shockingly new in the Senate. The shock is that you now have House Republicans behaving like senators. And it's been perfectly appropriate for 4 years for senators to dissent. Now it turns out it's all right for House members to dissent. I think that's healthy.
But what does this mean for the president in terms of the fights he picks?
He is going to have to pay more attention at home in the second term if he wants to get things through the Congress. The first term, he had two big developments. The first was that 9/11 shocked the country, and for about a year and a half, Congress was relatively complacent and gave him most of what he wanted. Then, from a Republican perspective, we had an election, and virtually every Republican went along with the president, tried to get things done in order to make sure he could get reelected. Now we're returning to a relatively normal period. And what it means for the president is that he and the vice president are going to spend a lot more time with members of Congress than they did in the last 2 or 3 years, or they're not going to get much done.
And which particular issues do you see them?
Well, they have to do a Social Security reform bill, both for the future of the baby boomers and because the president has staked so much of his reputation on it. I think they have to go back on litigation reform because the current explosion of lawsuits is just crippling the American economy and crippling American health care. I believe they've got to go back and get the energy bill. When oil starts hitting $50 a barrel, you really do have to put pressure back on the system to pass an energy bill. So they're going to have a series of reforms that the president's going to want, and he's going to have to go to the Congress hat in hand. Presidents don't like doing it. I served with Reagan, who didn't like doing it. I served with Bill Clinton, who didn't like doing it. Presidents love to go and deal with other presidents, their peers. And then there are all these 535 independently elected pains in the neck, all of them with their own voice, and, by the way, all of them with their own vote.
The president did not have to do this, essentially, in his first term.
He did not have to because I think for most of the first term, first of all, they had a very limited domestic agenda. And when you get to national security issues, the power of the commander-in-chief is so imposing that it's much harder for the Congress to stand up to the president. But when you get to domestic policy, every member of Congress thinks they, and by the way, constitutionally, they're right. They have every right to be standing as a peer of the president on these issues.
Leadership in the House, perhaps in the interest of furthering its own power vis-a-vis what it once done, is said to be ruling with an iron fist.
Yes, it's accurate and it's wrong. The Senate is too loose and the House is too tight. The House Republicans should consciously open the House rules up more. They should consciously allow minorities, which aren't always just Democrats. I mean, sometimes there are a minority of Republicans who want to offer an idea. In the Senate, on the other hand, they need to tighten the rules up some. The Senate has gotten to be so dysfunctional, it's an embarrassment.
In the House, what would be an example of that?
An example would be to bring a bill to the floor with a rule, which rules are how you get things to move in the House. Every bill has a rule that accompanies it. To bring a bill to the floor with a rule that allows any amendment that has a substantial number of members supporting it to be voted on, up or down, even if that meant, on occasion, the Republican majority loses to a combination of some Republicans and the Democrats. And the purpose of that is to allow new ideas and to build a psychology of working together.
The House has just rewritten its own rules, the Republicans' own ethics rules, to protect a single man, House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, in the event that he should be indicted in Texas. The rule was that an indicted House member could not be in a leadership position. What do you make of that?
It's a mistake. I mean, it's a mistake to change rules for one person. They are deviations from the majority that elected the Republicans.
And is that an instance of hubris?
Well, we'll find out. I mean, they won't be overreaching if they get away with it. But I think in the long run, it is not healthy for the Republican Party as a conservative, reform, taxpayers' party to be focused inwardly on protecting itself. And I think that it will come back and Republicans will come to realize it's a mistake. They shouldn't have done it.
Former Republican House Speaker Newt Gingrich. His new book, Winning the Future, A 21st Century Contract with America, is out in January.